Hello everyone, this is Frank de Graeve from Neat Little Macapps. You'll be hearing a kind of different show. In fact, you'll not be hearing a show at all. I'll just splice in this little series of audio interviews that I did with people like Leo Laporte, Zay Frank, Marshall K. McCusick, people like that I interviewed for another podcast that I once did with my co-host Dimitri Larmuzo in the days, and that was called System Trash. And basically the idea was that Dimitri set up some kind of Linux distro and I just trashed it. And one of the parts in that vidcast, because it was a vidcast, was me going out and interviewing known people in the podcast world and talking with them and asking them all kinds of questions about what system they use, and as a top question, if they ever had a system that they totally crashed in one way or another. Adam Christensen from the Maccast, for instance, is one of those people I also interviewed. So you'll be hearing once in a while me splicing an episode like this into the feed. You'll be thrown in there. Don't worry. If you don't want to listen it, just skip it, delete it from your iTunes. If you find it interesting, drop me a mail and let me know what you think about it. And I'll see if I'll splice in those other interviews also. First interview that you get from me is the one with Leo Laporte, podcast icon and commander of the Twit Army. Enjoy.
System Trash.
Hi and welcome to the very first System Trash spin-off, the System Trash interview. We figured that it would be for the best if we'd splice the interview away from the main show and use it as an appetizer for each of the coming shows. So now we're free as a bird who occasionally has to get back to the pen to eat, drink, have fun with the other birds and such, but eventually flies out again. This audio feed will be put online on both the podcast feed and the vidcast feed, so you only have to subscribe to one of the two and thus getting all our great content. More info on this can be found on our site systemtrash.com, and don't be shy, post your comments. As always, the System Trash interview picks out someone known in the technology slash podcast world and asks them all the teeny weeny details of what OSs they have worked with or what they're working with now, and we build a nice light conversation around it. As always, the main theme of the System Trash interview is Zombie Town from the Midnight Peacocks. Check them out at music.podshow.com. And now I can present you an interview with probably the most likable podcaster in the world, Mr. Leo Laporte. Welcome to the fifth installment of System Trash. Today we celebrate this by giving you an interview with nobody else than the uber general of the Twit Army, Mr. Leo Laporte. Welcome, Leo.
I'm the Führer.
Yeah.
The Twit Army. It's funny, I got an email from somebody who said, you know, do you have to do this militaristic imagery? And I said, I didn't choose it, and I agree with you. I don't really want to be militaristic, but there you are.
It's very, it's descriptive. I like it.
It
really
gets the
it's
job
cool.
Done. Yeah.
Now, in Europe, the history of Leo starts a bit with Twit, actually, at least
right
from what I remember. But for the people in America, you're like this omnipresent millipede. You're going from software development for the Mac in the early days. You've been author for all kinds of technology publications. I've named a few Mac User, Technology Almanac. I read also you're writing a new one this year, Technology Almanac 2006. Is
yep.
that correct?
That just came out.
You do radio shows, television shows. You're now, of course, on the air with the Technology Talk Show, if I'm correct also.
Mm-hmm.
You
yep.
do Call for Help on the G4 Tech TV. I mean, it doesn't end. I mean,
greedy.
Yeah, probably. But, I mean, that leads me to my first question. What, in the whole series of things you've done, What did you use? Was it all done on a Mac, or did you use Windows? What kind of operating systems did you went over with doing all those things?
Well, we're going so far back, it has to start with the Atari operating system in 1978 or 79. And then my first, so I worked with Ataris, and then in the early 80s, I got an IBM PC compatible, worked with DOS for a long time. And then, you know, I couldn't afford a Lisa when the Apple came out with a Lisa in 1982 or 83. It was $10,000 US, so I couldn't afford that. But when they came out with a relatively affordable one in 1984,
you
I got that. Yeah, it was $2,500 US, and you got one 400K floppy, and 1 megabyte of memory, and that was about it. And you couldn't do very much, but it still was cool. You know, it was a really cool computer. So I've worked with PCs and Macs since the beginning of both, and I still do. I still do both. Although these days, I'm very much a Mac lover. I like Unix, you know, and I love having an operating system that gives me Unix as well as a nice graphical operating system on top of it. So
yeah,
it's a good combination.
Yes, it is. I'm very happy also because we do the show with two. My co-host is Dimitri, who is like the Linux Unix techie geek from the two of us, and I'm a Mac head. Mm-hmm. I must say. Mm-hmm. And I am glad I got to know him, because he really explained a lot of the Unix things under the Macintosh, under the OS X system. And it really, I must say, it really is interesting to know your way around in that area.
So I almost always have a command line terminal open, in fact, virtually all the time, and use it very, very frequently for all sorts of things. And it's just really nice to have that.
Yeah, it's cool. It's nice. So at this moment, if I'm correct, you're using both Windows and Mac. The Windows systems, are those for specific reasons you still use that Windows? Is there?
Well, one reason is I still talk about Windows in all my shows and in my books and so forth. So I, you know, it's that's just out of journalistic necessity. I have to use Windows. If I didn't have to use Windows, I might not. There's only one program that I used on Windows that I really haven't found anything as good on the Mac, and that is the audio editing software I use, which is Audition. From Adobe, and it's just there's nothing, you know. I've purchased every Mac sound, and you'd think, you know, the Mac is really used by record producers and everybody, and it really is a very good audio platform. But there's just this one thing that I do, which is kind of radio style audio, and for that, there's nothing like Audition, because it's based on an old PC program called Cool Edit that was really used by radio stations for years, and so it really has everything that you know, podcast kind of editing that I would do, which is radio essentially.
Yeah, and all the
rest. I wouldn't make a record with it, although Ryan Moradkin does. But it's good for podcasts. It's good for radio.
And all the rest is Macintosh, the usual.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
In fact, I wish Audition were available on the Macintosh. I'd be very happy with that.
Well, when they bring out those Intel thingies you can run the Windows, perhaps.
But
I heard they have some problems with drivers and stuff. Now, I'm so gonna get flamed because last episode it was also a Mac user I was interviewing. I didn't know it. It was Zay Frank. I know. Don't know if you heard him on the podcast. And he was also a Mac head. And mainly we talk about Linux distros, which I in turn trash basically because they still have a long way to go in usability.
I like Linux a lot, but again, yeah, you have to be a Unix geek to really be effective.
I was trying to find some more Windows users, so I tried to contact Alex Albrecht, but all I got was Jay Andelson, who in a sad mail kind of like replied was, oh yeah, I mistakenly addressed him as the founder of Dig, and he humored me by telling me he was just the lowly CEO and co-founder of Dig. But he was very friendly and passed the mail on to Alex. But I haven't heard it.
Jay's
so
a great guy.
I'm going after Alex for the Windows side. That would be cool because I noticed he's quite fervently a Windows user and he has a Mac somewhere stashed away in his room. But I would try to get him to get some more Linux Windows guys in the show because I keep getting the Mac heads and Dimi doesn't like it. But that's
well,
his
you know,
problem.
I think a lot of podcast users are Mac heads. I think
I guess.
Yeah, I think it's a higher percentage.
Yep. Instead of the one you are using right now, operating system, that is there something else you would still like to try for an operating system to work with? Or are you quite happy with what you've got?
Frank, I try them all. I mean, you know, that's part of my job is using everything. Yeah. And there really are only three consumer operating systems out there right now, and that's Mac, Windows, and Linux. I used to really be a fan of BOS, which unfortunately has died, although there is an open source project trying to get that back together. That was a wonderful operating system. In fact, I had very high hopes for it. But it's hard now to start a new operating system. You've got such big players, and they're so dominant that, pretty much I think Linux, Mac, and Windows are going to be with us for some time.
Is it BOS that has died already, or...
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, what happened was Jean-Louis Gasset, who started the company, former Apple guy, they wrote it from scratch. It was a multimedia operating system, very fast, very efficient, really gorgeous, very good usability. And they were a strong contender when Apple decided that they weren't going to be able to do the next Macintosh operating system in-house. They went to two different companies. They went to Next, where Steve Jobs still was, and then they went to Jean-Louis Gasset, both of them former Apple guys, and BOS. Jean-Louis came close, but they lost, and so Apple, I think, bought Next and probably got a very good deal because along with Next, they got Steve Jobs.
And the Unix core, a lot of the things that's in the current system. Yeah. I've noticed old screens of it.
Yeah, Jean-Louis Gasset kind of struggled along with B for a couple of years after that, finally sold it to Palm, of all people, and there is a Palm OS 6 Cobalt, which is supposedly BOS, has a lot of BOS in it, but I don't know if we'll ever see Palm OS 6, because now the latest news is that
they're going to
Palm Source is going. No, well, Palm went to Windows Mobile, but the operating system company, which has been spun off, Palm, I know it's very complicated, but Palm Source is now talking to Linux people, and it looks like Linux will be the next Palm.
That's true. I heard it on Engadget somewhere. Yeah, that's correct.
Now
that you talk about BOS, I think it's Dimi who's going to do a virtual show of an operating system, and I thought it's the new version of BOS he was going
to make.
Well,
there is an open source project, and I'm hopeful.
Oh, that's good. I'm going to put it through to him. Because he was saying it laughing, like, oh, we're going to do a virtual show and we're going to pretend we have the new BOS or something like that. And I don't understand.
You want to get people angry, you say, we've got the new Amiga OS. It's back. That'll get people upset.
I'll post it onto him.
He'll go crazy.
I'll go to the next question now. If you look in the operating system you're using now, you say, okay, I have to use a lot of them because you have to keep informed for all these systems. But what are you looking for in a system for yourself to be used? What are the main things you say, like, that's why I use that system? That's something
I
like.
I think reliability, obviously, is number one. I mean, the thing has to work and can't crash. And it can't drive you crazy with little things going wrong that are almost impossible to fix or even figure out. And I think Windows has gotten to the point. Windows is pretty aged now. It's pretty old. And so I think it's gotten to the point where there's a lot of little, you know, it's like a little old lady, a crotchety little old lady, that things just start to go wrong and you can't, I don't want to do that. And it's just frustrating. Yeah. I think, you know, this happens to all operating systems. Apple had it happen to them with OS 6, 7, 8, and 9. It was just getting old and crotchety and unusable.
And they had problems to keep OS 9 running. They kept changing it.
Exactly. So, that's what number one is reliable. Number two is, of course, powerful in the sense that it's fast and I can run a broad variety of applications on it. I like having a command line. I think, you know, the fact that I have access to thousands of Unix applications at the command line is very, very powerful, very, very good. So I like that. But it also has to have, good user interface. I think really we've got a long way to go in user interface design. I find it very frustrating to use a mouse and keyboard. It gets in the way. What you want, what we're really looking for, is a computer that doesn't get in the way. Mm-hmm. That when you want to do something, it just does it. It's intuitive. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to think about the input devices or staring into a screen. It just happens. And I think we're getting closer and closer.
Yeah, you saw the video of the new screen, that touch screen kind of, I think it was on Dig, where you could basically do anything but just by touching your screen that.
I haven't seen that now. I think voice command is going to be important. I think in our lifetime, we'll probably see a revolution in user interface because Clearly, that's the next frontier.
We'll all be hooked to a little wire in our brains and
something
like that, perhaps.
Something.
Who knows?
It's got to be really good because we all are trained to use this old keyboard. You know, we're using a 19th century input device with these 21st century devices.
Yeah, that's true.
This keyboard has not changed substantially in over 100 years. I think it's time. Problem is there's a lot of inertia. I mean, we know how to use it.
I think you just answered my next question also. I mean, is there something you would see changed in the next 5 years that will probably be the way you interface with your computer? Or is there something else?
Well, you know, voice is one thing I'd like to see, although, you know, there's the issue of, well, you're talking to your computer. You know, is it going to get very noisy in offices with everybody all talking
practical.
At once? I don't know. Yeah, it may not be practical. But I think there will be new forms of user interface, and I think the mouse and pointing is efficient and effective, but the way we've got our windowing systems working is not very efficient and effective. Jeff Raskin, who's passed away but was the man who really inspired the Macintosh project, was working on something called Archie at his death that was a zooming interface that was really novel and interesting. And I'm not sure it was the right way to go, but it was definitely thinking out of the box. And I think we need to do that. I think we need to think of new ways to interact with a computer. It's very frustrating. I don't know about you, but I find it, maybe it's my age, but I find it frustrating. It's not working as quickly as I'd like. You know, it's not doing what I want it to do. That mouse is a little finicky. Mm-hmm. You've got to get it just right. You know, it's a little annoying.
Yeah.
It could be better.
I keep getting the idea in my head of a mail client that's just an empty screen where the mail headers and stuff like that float around like in a cloud. Like in a cloud, you know, the tag clouds where some mails are more important than others and they go bigger and they just float around.
Interesting.
A bit like the new game, what's it called, Spore.
I love Spore. Wasn't that incredible?
It was great. Like,
wait to play that.
And it just evaluated. It kind of reminds me all to one soup of things and things just bubble up because the computer knows what you're probably want to do at that moment. Something like that.
You've got the right idea, which is that the computer is smarter, you know? It needs to be a little smarter about what we want, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Four last question already. What's the most awful way you've ever heard about trashing a computer? I'm just going to give you a short list of what we've had until now. We've had Adam Christensen, whose friend had deleted his kernel. He was working in OS 9. He was saying, okay, I'm going to clean up my system, and he threw away the kernel of OS X while being in OS 9. It was just in one of the first... you know,
get rid of this mock kernel. I don't need that.
that was the same reaction Adam Christensen had. He was really laughing. Yeah. We have Clark Boyd from the BBC World Technology podcast, who had a friend whose laptop got pierced with sniper bullets. Three sniper bullets. It still worked, but the screen was a little bit trashed. J.D. Fraser from User Friendly, the comic strip.
Mm-hmm.
He had a friend who was working on his computer, and he had sulfuric acid thrown onto it, which wasn't nice also. And Jay Frank was kind of worried about CD rot. That was like the only thing that really annoyed him, was that like his CDs from 5 to 6 year old were dying on him.
I have a box of zip disks I could give him.
Yeah, with
nobody can use them, but I've got. You know, I think the worst thing I ever did was, you know, we do Call for Help, the TV show I do in Canada. We use a wiki to do our production because I'm in the States, they're in Canada. I only go up there 1 week a month. So a wiki is a great collaborative environment. And I was, and I'm responsible for maintaining it. It's on my server, and every once in a while I'll update it or whatever. And one of the producers said, we want to change the template for one of the things. And I blithely went in and I wrote a, I'm a fan of Perl one-liners when it comes to maintaining my website, which is a tool that is, it's like using a Dremel tool to brush your teeth. It's a dumb idea. this Perl one-liner that I use, you know, basically change is an in-place text change, you know, and, you know, with dash PI and dash E, and then you do a substitution. Mm-hmm. And I ran this Perl one-liner without testing it, without thinking about it. I just typed it right out, and I trashed the entire database. Everything for, you know, the entire production for that was coming up next week, but also years past, years future,
oh,
everything.
No.
The whole thing was gone, and then I got a panicky call from Canada. I didn't even know I did it, you know. Mm-hmm. I had updated the templates, but the problem is they were all blank. And I got a call from Canada about 5 minutes saying, Leo, there's nothing in the wiki, nothing at all. And I went, uh-oh. Fortunately, I had a very good web host provider who had a backup.
Ah, superb.
Thank God. Thank God for backups. And I swear, no more Perl one-liners. Well, just one more. Maybe two, but I got to get off those Perl one-liners. They're dangerous. They're very dangerous.
It's a nice one. I'm going to start. I haven't put them online now, but I'm going to start to put them on our site also.
That's good.
The list of trashed systems. Nice one.
So that's the name of the podcast, System Trash. That's the whole point of it. You ask people how they've trashed their
systems. Well, we were thinking in the practical sense, just in the mm-hmm. beginning, but it would be a little impractical to find. How shall I explain it? There are just so many ways to, let's say, crash a system properly.
There are.
And we felt that the show would end quite soon. While in this manner, Dimi sets up Linux distros and I trash them verbally.
Ah,
which is
like
a nice.
That.
Yeah, well, it's a nice hobby for me, and I kind of do it because I want to poke the programmers a bit. I like the I like the open source idea behind it, but they keep clinging on that Windows environment, and I annoy them basically. That's my job.
Well, and that's a really good point, and that kind of goes along with what we were saying, is that we seem to be stuck in this meme of, you know, you've got a start menu or a start button or an Apple button or a dock, and you have Windows on the screen and your applications live in the Windows. I agree with you. I think this is old hat. We need to come up with a better way. You know, when Windows were first invented at Xerox PARC in the 60s, there was a massive debate for many years about whether you have independent windows that float one on top of the other, or one window should always be predominant, or mm-hmm. And you know, I think that we, by default, we've kind of fallen into this particular way of doing things, but it's not necessarily. In fact, I think it's definitely not the best way of doing it. Let's see if some better ideas.
Yeah, well,
and that's where it should happen in Linux. Why should? I mean, that's crazy to be duplicating Windows.
Ah, we'll see. I'll keep poking him a bit.
I'm with you. I'm with
okay.
you.
Okay, I'll tell him that. last question. We discuss, as I mentioned, each episode we discuss a distro. Now, the episode when we'll be airing this interview, we spice the episodes up with these interviews. That episode will be discussing Fedora Core 5. It's just announced yesterday, I guess, or the day before. It's like Dimi told me, it's the free Red Hat version. He translates
that's
everything
right.
a bit to me, so I can get it. Like, okay, that's it. You ever used the distro or?
I haven't used 5 yet, but of course I've used Fedora Core. In fact, all my servers run Red Hat Enterprise. But I like Fedora, and I've used Fedora for a long time, and we recommended Fedora and Red Hat before that for a long time.
Yeah.
It's not my favorite distro. I think I prefer. I don't know. There are different distros for different uses.
Yep.
You know, Debian is kind of the purest distro. Mm-hmm. Ubuntu is a great one for new users.
We had Ubuntu already. He had a great granny approved sign.
Yes,
for
exactly.
Us.
It's the granny approved.
Well,
Ubuntu,
that's the way we quote the distros, and I go waving around with a logo on the Vidcast saying, "This is not granny approved. I cannot give this to my granny."
It's the closest. I would vote for Linspire as more granny friendly, except for the only problem with Linspire is that I think this is very granny unfriendly, is they set up all initial users as root, which is a very bad idea.
Yeah, so. I guess, but I'll note that. Well, Linspire, then we
Linspire,
have
yeah.
Because after Ubuntu, we didn't really have a lot of. We had PC Linux OS, but Ubuntu was for the best, I guess. But
I think for grannies, the Linspire is probably the best.
Linspire,
if they would just fix this one thing, yeah.
Linux for grannies. Super.
Linux for grannies.
Okay,
yeah,
thank
you,
Leo. It was an honor having you. Where can our listeners get a sip of the things you're doing right now? Where should I point them to?
Twit.tv. TWIT.TV. It's all there.
It's all there. Okay.
I apologize. There's no Flemish version yet, but we're working on it.
No problem. We'll translate it for you. Okay. Here in Flanders.
And where's the Leffy gold? You said you were going to have some Leffy.
I'm going to send it over. I'll see how much it will cost me to put it America.
No. Now, is Leffy better than Chimay?
I think so. But that's okay. just my opinion, because we have so many beers here, and every Belgian kind of has his own favorite. And
right. I will say that difficult. The best beer in the world is Belgian beer. There, people think German? No. Belgian beer is. And I'm not Czechoslovakian? No. Belgian beer is the best.
That's very kind, but I must say I totally agree also.
No, it's clearly true. Anybody who knows anything knows that.
I'm going to have to send this little audio comment to the guys over at Dignation.
Dignation, and let
them say, hey, this is real beer.
I've told Kevin, he knows what I think. I've told Kevin many times, what are you drinking this other junk for?
I don't know what it's always something bizarre, kind of local. I don't know what to drink, but
yeah. Well, there's a lot of microbreweries in the States, and so they try all the microbreweries. But you know what? Right. The Trappist monks have been doing it longer than anybody. They know how to make beer. Why go with these upstarts when you can get something that's centuries old?
That's true. And if you have one, you should try the cheese also. They make it with the same beer.
Ah, what kind of cheese?
For example, just name a Belgian monk.
Every beer has a cheese. That
a lot of them. A lot of them. Yes.
Oh, I'll be darned.
I don't know if Chimay has one, but you should try. You should try to ask if they have the cheese also.
I will.
If you ever turn up in Belgium, but then I will send you the Leffe Blonde right away with express mail if I ever hear you're coming to Belgium. Okay.
Hey, thank you so much, Frank.
No, thank you. Thank you for making time available, and I wish you well with all the things you're doing right now.
Thank you. Send me an email with your RSS feed so I can include it in my feeds.
I will. Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Frank.
Leo.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, that's it for the podcast. Don't lose those feeds, because in a week or two we'll be serving up Fedora Core 5. And I can tell you, I fancy some system trashing.